Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Bless the saps now. Grant them traveling grace. And when they arrived at the destination, bless them that everyone that they're going to take care of will be all right. Father, now bless me as you have always done. Give me wisdom and knowledge of your word. Speak to me, speak through me, that your word will go forth, that we will leave better than when we came, because we've heard from you. In Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Verses 1 through 3. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Yes, the Lord is my rock, yes, and my fortress, yes, my deliverer, yes, my God, yes, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I want to talk on this thought. God is my everything. God is my everything. Thank you, Ursus. If we would read the inscription on this psalm, it would give us some insight on the background of the text. The inscription is a call for God's deliverance. My brothers and sisters, during this time, David was running from Saul. He was in constant danger of death. Now he has been delivered from his enemy. He lifts up his voice in praise to the Lord God, who has given him the victory. This is David's song, but you and I also have a song of victory, because you and I have been through some rough patches. We have had some hard trials, as well as tribulations. We've been lied on. We've been talked about. We've been in more valleys than mountains. But yet, God still has been good to us. My brothers and sisters, through it all, we can testify that God is still your everything. Because in spite of our dark past, and even our present is not too bright, but yet God puts up with us. And God gives us new mercies every day. Yesterday's mercy can't sustain for today's mercy. And I wish I had somebody who can testify very briefly and thank God for new mercies. Because I'm having new troubles. I'm having new hell. I'm having new hardships. And yesterday's mercies can't deal with today's trials. And that's why every morning, new mercies that I see. And that's why I don't mind praising God the way I praise him, because he's been that good to me. God have brought me through things that I never thought that I'd get out of. Do I have some boxed in people here? What I mean is life had boxed you in. You didn't see no way out nor no way through, but before you knew it, you were walking through the same trouble you was once in. You was coming out of the storm that you were once in, and that's why I give God the praise, because it was nobody but him. And that's why I'm not ashamed to tell you this morning, he is my everything. God never fails. God has never let me down. Anytime I needed him, he might not have came when I wanted him, but when he showed up, not only was he on time, but he was in time. How many know he's an in time God? He'll show up in the hospital bed in time. He will show up when your credit and bills are due in time. How many know that I can praise him? Wait a minute, let me back the train up. Can you praise God while you're still waiting on him to show up? He hadn't showed up yet, but he still deserved my praise. I'm still in need, but he still deserved my praise. My body is still rocking with pain, but he still deserves my praise. David, in the text, look at verse 1. David says, God is my everything. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Write this down. David says, God is my everything. Number one, because I delight in him. At the very beginning, the psalmist makes two great profound declarations. First, he declares his love for God. Secondly, he declares his absolute dependence upon the Lord. He seems to be indicating that he will live his life with these two great things before him. He says, I love God and I totally depend on God. And my brothers and sisters, when David says, I love God, here in the original Greek, when he says, I love God, it is translated as to say the love means to fondle. It means it carries with the ideal of hugging. It doesn't sound right. Wait, what you mean, preacher? Love God, hugging God. Just like a child. When you have a newborn baby, you want to fondle the baby. You want to hold the baby in your arms because you love the child just that much. And David says, when I look back and see how all the dangers God has brought me through, I love God so much that I just want to put him in my arms and hug him and don't let him go. And I believe David is not the only one that feels this way. You have been through some hell in your life. And when it comes to you loving God, you say, God, I just want to put my arms around you and hold you real close to me because I love you that much. Ah. David said that the Lord has done so much for me. His love has saved me. His love has sustained me. His love has strengthened me. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. David said, I love the Lord. It's right there in the text. He says, I love the Lord. He says, oh Lord, my strength. David says, I delight in him because I love him, but then I delight in him because he's the source of my power. 9 times in verses 1 and 2, David uses the personal progressive pronoun, my. And do you realize from this personal pronoun, David is saying, my is an indication that he belongs to me and I belong to him. In other words, he's my father and I'm his child. And if I'm his child and he's my father, God takes care of his children. I never heard, Reverend Dearborn, nobody trying to put God up for child support because he takes care of his children. He feeds his children. He clothes his children. He takes care of his children. He watches over his children while we sleep at night. He wakes us up in the morning, and the breakfast that's on the table, he gave it to you. The job that you have, he gave it to you. The car that you're driving, he gave it to you. The house that you live in, he gave it to you. The clothes on your back, he gave it to you. Now, ain't you just get up and say, Daddy, I thank you so much. See, every day is Father's Day to me because he's my father, and I want to bless him every day of my life. David says, just as a child loves his father and a father loves his child, he says that's the relationship that God and I have. And more when you have a daddy like that, when you have a daddy that's world renowned in this planet and all over the universes. People ask, is there life on other planets? I said, I don't know, but if it do, they still know my daddy. He's that kind of daddy. And you know how it is when people bully you and you all alone, you fearful because you can't fight back for yourself. But when you got a dad, and you know your daddy don't allow nobody messing with his kid, and you tell your bully, you keep messing with me, I'm going to call my dad. And you don't want my daddy to come down here. Because if my daddy have to come down and handle you, it ain't going to be nothing nice. And that's what I tell the Satan sometimes. Keep on messing with me. Keep on trying to bring me down. You see, all I got to do is call my daddy. And he done already kicked you out of heaven one time. And if you keep messing with me, you don't want me to bring my daddy down here, because my daddy speak me and got to lay down and die. My daddy speak me and can rise again. How many can say, I got a doggone good daddy and he looks out for me? He said, I delight in him because he's my everything. Then he goes to verse 2. David said, since I'm talking about my daddy, I just can't stop about me delighting in him. He says, not only do I delight in him, but number 2, I depend on him. Look what he says. He says, the Lord is my rock. He said, I depend on him. Him being my rock, he gives me stability. And the Bible talks about an unstable man. Double-minded man, he's what? Unstable in all of his ways. But God gives his children stability. when everything else in the world is being tossed, twisted, and driven, God forever remains the same. That's what he means by God is my rock. He never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Aren't you glad that God never changes? Let me help you with that. The same way he healed in biblical days, God can do the same thing now. Some people say, but why God don't work miracles like he did in the biblical days? It ain't God that changed. It's we have changed. See, it was faith that made a woman with a 12-year-old issue grab the hem of his garment and she walked away. It was faith that man pick up his bed and walk. It took faith for a man to go down to the pool to Siloam and wash his eyes and receive his sight. I wish I had somebody that can testify. It God hasn't changed, our faith level has changed. He's my rock. He gives me stability because he never changes. But then he goes further. He says, he's my rock and my fortress. Now he says, not only do I have stability, now I have safety. He says, he becomes my fortress. And this is a reference to the lofty mountains to which David fled when he was running from Saul. David reminds us that the Lord is a place of safety in which the saint can flee to in times of trouble. How many know when trouble was all around you? And when you went to the Lord took care of you. Now can I be real with you? There were times when I went to the Lord, he took care of me instantly. But then there were times when I went to the Lord, he allowed me to go through the storm, but still took care of me while I was in it. So you can't tell me because I'm in something don't mean God is not taking care of me. God is just letting me go through it to have a greater testimony when I come out of it. How many can testify that there are some things I'm glad God didn't prevent me to go through? I'm glad he with me, allowed me to go through this because it made me a better person. Nobody have to pull praise out of me the way they used to because God let me went through something. And I told the Lord, if you continue to bless me, I will praise you for the rest of my life. David says, he's my fortress. He's my place of safety. He's my rock. He's my stability. He's my place of safety. But then watch what David says. He goes on from fortress. He says, now he's my deliverer. He becomes my savior now. It refers, when you look at delivery, a savior, it refers to one who saves or rescues or delivers one from danger. My brothers and sisters, we were all on our way to hell. But God saved us through his son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross, his blood covers the multitude of our sins. And when the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ, we accept Christ. Christ leads us to the Father. And how many can say this morning, I'm glad I've been rescued? Look, when I was coming up, and if you used to watch this show, you're going to tell your age. When I was coming up, I used to love Gilligan Island. I used to love Gilligan Island. And it seemed like no matter what they did, they could never get off that island. And you know what, Brother Cooper, what got me more than anything about that sitcom? They built everything else on the island. They had huts, restaurants, and even a bar. But they couldn't repair that little hole in that ship. But then later on, in the later 70s, they came out a movie called Rescue of Gilligan Island. The ratings went so high on that movie because every episode we wanted them rescued. And when the title came out, Rescued from Gilligan's Island, everybody tuned in because they were tired of seeing them trying to do their best to get rescued. Oh, I wish I had somebody to testify. I was on my own Gilligan's Island. People was looking at me and wondering when I was going to get through, but God sent a text message, Rescue from Gilligan's Island. Roger came out. And look where I am today. If you would have caught me in the 70s, in the early 80s, you never thought I'd be a pastor of the church, but I've been rescued. He says, in this text, he says, I depend on him. But then, look what he says. We're almost done, y'all. But I got to bring you through the text. He says, my deliverer. Then he just stops. And just says, my God. He starts describing God with stability and deliverance. And then in the midst of even describing God, he just pauses and says, whew, my God. Have you ever had a my God moment? When you look back over your life and know you shouldn't even be here, you just say, my God. Friends that you started out with, you didn't been to their graves, and you can sit here and say, my God. All the dope you smoke, all the alcohol you drink, everything you did, and people with clean systems are in the grave, but you are still here. You ought to put your hands on your hip and be like David and said, he says, my God, my God. Then David says, well, let me get back on track. He was like a Baptist preacher. You can be with the text, but you get so excited, you get off track. David said, let me go ahead and finish this text. He said, my God, but he says, my strength. In other words, he is saying, God is what I need when I'm in trouble. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, there shall not be burn, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. But then I like what he went, what Psalmist says in 46:1, he says, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, then look what he says, God, in whom I will trust. Can I tell y'all this? We just about through, y'all. Let me get through this here. God can be trusted. Music ministers, I'm going to need you in a minute, but let me get this point out. God can be trusted. Now, I might can't trust you, and you might can't trust me, but I can tell you this. God can be trusted. Have you ever trusted somebody and they broke your heart? You never thought that they would say or do things like it just broke your heart. But can I tell you something? God don't break hearts. He put hearts together. He says, God is my strength in whom I would trust. Then he says, watch this. He's my buckler. And this means shield. When troubles come in my life, and they will come, God shields me from the trouble. Now, he let me get hit with a few things. But when things are too hard for me to handle, he shields me. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, there are times when the Lord will step between you and the trouble. The trouble is in your vicinity, but it won't affect you because God is shielding you. What I'm trying to tell you, God didn't keep Shadrach and Meshach from the fiery furnace. He shielded them while they were in. He didn't keep Daniel from the den of lions. He shielded them while he was in. And can I get somebody to say, God didn't keep me from trouble. there were some storms God didn't keep me from. There was some heartbreak God didn't keep me from. There was some teary and hard nights God didn't keep me from. But while I was in there, he shielded me. Then he says he's the horn of my salvation. He said, now I have security. He said, the Lord is the horn of my salvation. When David calls God the horn of salvation. Hear me good. Let me teach this to you. He is saying the Lord is the strength of my salvation. He, in other words, he is saying that when I am saved, I have absolute security in my salvation. Once I come to Jesus and he saves me, it's a one-time deal. God didn't save you to lose you. He saved you to keep you. Gospel of John chapter 6, 38 and 40. He said, for I come down from heaven, hear me good, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Here's your praise cue. He said, and this is the Father's will that has sent me, that all that which are given to me shall lose nothing. Y'all just miss what I'm saying. When you are given to me, you will never be lost again. Now, you're going to mess up and you're going to backtrack. You're going to do something, but you will never be in that state again. And everybody should get up and rejoice at the fact that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Yeah, y'all didn't see me cuss. Yeah, you didn't see me done wrong. But my salvation is sealed. I don't worry about you can question my salvation. But I know... Then he said, he's my high tower. Oh, y'all, here it is. This is where I want to get you. I'm glad you were patient with me. He says, he is my high tower. This is a metaphor David uses. As a high tower, it refers to the great towers that were built around ancient cities. And on these towers, soldiers will look out for uncommon dangers against the city. And in that elevated position, they had advantages over oncoming armies against the city. They will shoot their arrows down and destroy them as they come. And if God is my high tower, then God has the advantage point. When Satan is trying to creep up on me, God can see him miles before he comes. And God will warn me, son, get on your knees and pray and praise me because trouble is coming your way. Oh, I feel good this morning, Mount Zion. Not only would I delight in him and I depend on him, but then verse 3 and finally, he said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I delight on him and I delight in him. I depend on him, but he will deliver me. He says, I will love him and I will praise him because he will deliver me from my enemies. He didn't say I wouldn't have enemies. He said, I'm going to deliver you from your enemies. Now, you got some of you in here. This morning, you may say, preacher, I don't have any enemies. Don't deceive yourself. Well, let me back it up. You might be right. You might not have any enemies. But you just come to discover you are your worst enemy. My brothers and sisters, how many can say that I've been delivered? David was saying the times I was on the run, when I was running for my life, the Lord, he did take care of me. And my children, brothers, and my sisters, we must learn that the Lord, he will take care of his own. My Lord, and we must